The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to We the People Radio,
where we thrive on chaos.
We were doing so well. We got here on time, sort of, and all ready to go, except Bill's little headset there was wrapped around everything. So
I got tangled up.
You were way tangled up.
Still, I got
You're
knots.
Still tangled up.
Oh, well.
Oh, my goodness.
I got a knot in my cord.
That's not good. Nothing good's going to come of that. All right.
Good afternoon, Bob.
Good afternoon, Bill.
Did you miss us, Bob?
I did.
And I don't sound like Marge Simpson this week. Yay.
No, you sound much better.
I know. It was bad last Sunday, too. So thanks for playing our archive. You know, and next week we have Leighton Stewart.
And then we had part two of our Common Core show on in Philly last week.
So they got to hear the whole thing, which was awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And let's see. We've got... We have the solar, the guy who does David Williams, who talks about home solar. He's next week and how that is a total scam. So stay tuned.
Well, and some of it's a total scam.
Next week is like scam week because then we have Leighton Stewart on about plants need CO2. So that's always fun. He always has really good nuggets of wisdom for us. Today we're going to talk about sustainable development and how icky it is and how many bad things it's doing. Actually, I guess we should say it's the cause of many bad things that we're experiencing, perhaps, with our good friend Debbie Bacigalupi. So we're going to call her here in just 5 seconds. So let's see.
Why does the word sustainable just give me the creepy crawlies?
Because it usually means something bad's going to happen.
It does.
Well, it usually means, actually, it's synonymous with we'll be taking your rights away for the good mm-hmm. of everyone.
And you'll like it once you get used to it. Just trust me.
Yeah, if you would just stop being a denier and a hater.
Yeah.
Then it would go much better for you.
Yeah, I think so. I'm just not ready to give that up yet, though.
Being a denier and a hater?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm not either.
It's gotten me to where I am today.
Well, you know, the other part of it is, too, it seems like as long as we hang on to it, we start finding out that the things that we always thought were a scam because they seemed ridiculous are.
They were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're a scam all the way
yeah.
along. Debbie was reading an article earlier. It was like the year of I told you so. Like all Al Gore's predictions.
Oh, yeah. We're going to do that.
They're all wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all wrong.
My copy of his book's coming. And
did you order it?
Yes.
You had to break down and order
and
it?
And I'm going to highlight all the predictions that he had in that book. That was 2006 when he printed the...
And the world was coming to an end.
What was it? The Inconvenient Truth. And we're going to highlight all the predictions because I'm sure a lot of them came true. Like no ice on the polar ice cap and, you know.
The only thing inconvenient was that his book was completely false.
Yeah, yeah.
I hear he's going to run for president. Could you imagine that?
I heard that, too.
Yeah.
I got a hot tip for you, Al. Save your money.
It certainly changed the dialogue. We could talk about something besides Hillary's email.
Yeah, no
because
kidding.
We all know she did not have email relations with that server.
It's true. And she did break up with that server.
But see, it's only good when you see her with her little fists in the air, you
yeah.
know, in her...
What difference does it make?
You know, and then...
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a picture that needs to be recaptioned pretty much daily. And so many choices, so little time. So, let's see. What should we tell people? We better give them some information here. How about the website? WeThePeopleRadio.us. And .net and .org work, too. Some knucklehead took .com and isn't using it. If you're out there and you're listening, we want it. Stop hogging it.
Stop hogging it up.
Or at least use it, you knucklehead. So wethepeopleradio.us. And the great part about that is you can see what's up for next week. You can catch the archives from the last, 4.5 years? Yeah.
Yeah.
2010. We've been doing this for a while. People are like, oh, we thought you just started. We were cutting you some slack. No, we should have the hang of it by now. I guess we don't. So do we have Debbie? Do we have our weekly hostage?
She's in here somewhere.
We got her hostage for the afternoon. Miss Debbie?
Yes?
Hey, there you go.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Bill. How
We're fantastic.
You sound kind of far away. Can you get closer to your...
Pull the string a little tighter
Hi,
on that
Bill,
can.
How are you? Is that better?
That's better, yeah. Yeah, tighten up that string on that can a little bit. It's a little little teeny.
Oh, my gosh. So you sent me a bunch of links. I'll be adding those to the website. This is always one of those shows where we add things as we go. So just keep refreshing your page, and things will pop up along the way. So where would you like to start? Kind of left it up to you since you're the expert on the horrors of sustainable development.
Well, let's see. Where do we start? Well, we could, throw a dart.
I'm sure
on
easy
a,
for you to say.
On a Pinterest board and start anywhere. the links that I sent you are from a presentation I did back in November. In Monterey, to a large group of people who do portfolios, pension funds, and are investors in the whole pension fund, world. And the links are all links that go to prove how United Nations Agenda 21 is really going after our pension plans and like CalSTRS and CalPERS. And going after, I guess that might be the wrong terminology because CalSTRS and CalPERS voluntarily signed an MOU with the United Nations to something called the United Nations Principles for Responsible Investing, so UNPRI.
And now, why would they do that?
Well, because they are all for United Nations Agenda 21, and they're also being co-opted by the United Nations, even though they've done this voluntarily, in the world of divesting from fossil fuels and methane to help save the planet.
Mm. I'm so sick of saving the planet.
So the MOU, the Memorandum of Understanding, and you can see in that link for the UNPRI, who's signed? I mean, it is big, huge organizations beyond pension fund investors. And so when you go through that list and you see all the United States organizations that are signing on to the UNPRI Principles for Responsible Investing, really what they're signing on to is we will divest. We will divest from fossil fuels and anything, greenhouse gas creating industries. Some of them, including CalPERS and CalSTRS, and there should be another link, there was a conference in Montreal. You remember the climate change summit that just happened in September?
I hate to say it, but I missed it. I didn't go.
You didn't? Oh, Bill!
I know. They were counting on me.
There is the People's March, and Leonardo DiCaprio showed up as the United Nations ambassador for Healthy Oceans or something like that. And then a couple of weeks later, he took a multi-million-dollar yacht down to Brazil for some soccer tournament.
You can't make that stuff up.
So there was a conference Climate Change Summit, which happened in September, which our governor, Jerry Brown, went to. In fact, he went to say that California is going to reach, and then by the year 2020, we're going to reach our greenhouse gas goals, reducing our greenhouse gas goals, but then we're going to do something even greater, and by 2030, we are going to beat those goals and go even lower when it comes to, reducing our greenhouse gases. Really, when people, and you guys know this, when you reduce your greenhouse gases, what is that asking us to do? What will it require for us to reduce our greenhouse gases?
We get to live in a hut.
Stop breathing.
Well, we probably don't get the hut, though. We get to pretend like we're in Haiti.
Yeah, so what I hear you saying is reduce our lifestyle. Not
What
I hear you saying, psychologist Debbie says to me.
So we get to reduce our lifestyle, right? And this is what they were saying at this climate change summit that Obama went to, Jerry Brown went to, Leonardo DiCaprio went to, the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change went to, all these people who, Sting went to this, conference.
Well, you know, he'd be there.
A2 Sting?
It's nice to know that these, highly influential celebrities are taking care of us at these conferences and representing
they've,
us.
They've got theirs. They've got theirs so we can all just stuff it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's our job to save the world.
Yes, and that conference was at the United Nations headquarters, and you can go online and you can see some of the speeches, and you can see Obama, and you can see Jerry Brown's speech, and you can see Leonardo DiCaprio's speech. You can see all these speeches, and all of it was getting ready for, like, they do their little nudge, they're getting prepped for the next conference to create, you know, a buzz, to create some media story around getting to what is called COP21. So COP21 is Convention of Party, and that's going to happen this year in December. And the main goal of Convention of Party meeting number 21, I don't know that it has to do with Agenda 21 as far as the name, but, you know, I don't think there are too many coincidences in life. So the whole purpose behind COP21 is to come up with a global price on carbon. And since everything's made with carbon that we use, then that means everything, there will be for the first time, and at least in what I think, is a global tax for the first time. And their goal is to come up with a single price on carbon worldwide.
Wow.
And since everything we use requires carbon, I don't know how they're going to do the math on this one.
I was going to say they're going to collect money, and who's going to administer
but it's
that?
It's kind of funny that
because it'll be a small fund, I'm sure.
But making the money that they want produces carbon.
That's true.
Ironic. Oh my gosh! So then, right after that conference,
just to tie up with the MOUs that are being signed. Right after that conference, there was a conference in Montreal, and it's called the Montreal Pledge. And at that conference, it was for pension funds and people in the investment world. And so at that conference, so they already signed an MOU with the United Nations Principles for Responsible Investing. Well, at this next conference called the Montreal Conference, I'm not sure exactly what the conference was, but they signed the Montreal Pledge, which, and this is CalPERS and CalSTRS, which is arguably the largest pension fund system with the most money, right? We're talking hundreds of millions of dollars combined. And what they signed is another MOU with the Montreal Pledge. And in that MOU, what they agreed to do between that time in September all the way to Paris this year in December is to divest from fossil fuel investment. So they'll take their portfolios and they will do massive divesting from anything that is, you know, greenhouse gas emissions. And at the same time that they're divesting from these portfolios, like let's say Coca-Cola, let's say they invest in Coca-Cola, which I'm sure they do, now they've got to, under this pledge, urge or convince Coca-Cola to start looking at its carbon footprint on Earth and expose its carbon footprint on Earth, and then start reducing its carbon footprint on Earth so that they are divesting from fossil fuel, they are divesting from methane gas, they are divesting from greenhouse gases. And can you imagine, since everything is made with carbon, everything's made with livestock byproducts, everything's made with petroleum or fossil fuel, whatever you want to call it, what that's going to do to supply, to products. If we are divesting, have to divest because we signed an MOUs with the United Nations. So anyway, what do you think of all that?
We think it's horrible. Hold that thought so that people can allow their blood pressure to go down. We're going to thank our advertisers. Bill's blinking. We have some kind of rapid eye movement problem going on.
I have so much to say about all that.
Bill's face is getting as red as his shirt. Oh my gosh. We'll come back.
But it doesn't make sense, especially because we're seeing all this hoopla about, You've got John Kerry saying we need to reduce our greenhouse gases. You've got, not JFK, but Ted Kennedy, I think, who was calling out the Koch brothers and saying in, I can't remember what newspaper it was, but calling out the Koch brothers saying that you are killing the planet and you, and Al Gore said this as well, that you should be punished. Climate change deniers should go to jail. Is what they're saying.
Well, I guess we're gonna have a whole lot of company. Debbie, we're gonna come right back. We're going to we're gonna explore this thing. Join us on the chat room if you're listening on Sunday here. It's wethepeopleradio.us. Click on the listen link and it'll pop right up to the chat room. And that's about all we got for you. Hit it, Bob. It was like, where's our music? Where's our words?
When they move into your neighborhood, they take over, but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them?
You're listening to We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
That's not the words.
That's not it. It's not blah, blah, blah.
It's not blah, blah, blah.
Are you my dad?
That's all I hear from him, though. It's blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, rotten sting. It's fallen sting. With sustainable developer knuckleheads. Hey, so you're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We are here live on Sunday afternoons from noon to 2 at KCNR 1460 AM in Reading. And we are on delay, I guess you'll call it, or replay. From a conservative commandos radio network broadcasting from WNJC 1360 AM in Philadelphia and around the world on the internet, of course. That is Tuesday afternoons from 1 to 2 Eastern Time and on the air, on the internet at ccrsnetwork.com. It's a whole group of conservative shows actually that have banded together on the East Coast, and they found us on Twitter and included us in their lineup. So we send them 1 hour of our show each week. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So this will be the hour that we send to Philadelphia. Next hour, we're having a little scheduling change, switcheroo as we're talking here. We have a local veteran issue that's kind of a giant one. So at 1:30, we're going to focus on that. And I know there were a lot of emails went out and said we were going to be talking about it today. So that'll be in about an hour. So you're going to get to learn about sustainable development and how bad it is for the next hour. We'll talk about veterans in the last half hour. So, Debbie, all that said, back to you. Uh-oh.
Okay,
oh,
well,
in the
let's
cone
see.
Of silence there for a second.
Sorry, let me get away from my computer so I don't hear myself in double time.
Hey, I got a question for you,
okay,
Debbie.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
All of that to say that what we are going to be experiencing over the next several months is an effort to come to that global agreement on carbon. So my prediction is, if they know that they're close to coming to a worldwide agreement, which we know that John Kerry made some announcement recently, that we submitted our plans to the United States of America, submitted our greenhouse reduction plans to the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change. They are the lead agent, the United Nations Framework, it's UNFCCC. They are the lead agent in this conference. And my understanding is that China also submitted their plan. So when you have the major industrialized countries now saying, we've made our plan, what do you think happens with all these other countries, these smaller countries? They now are going to say, okay, if they did theirs, they are the leaders of the world, now we must submit ours. And in Obama's State of the Union, we heard him say that climate change is, he said something like climate change is the most serious issue that we should be discussing, you know, for preservation of future generations, and that we will lead the way internationally when it comes to climate change law, or pushing for a change in international opinion around climate change. So they're not kidding. You know what made me so upset about the State of the Union? Here we have a new senator, Joni Ernst, who, she's a farmer, she's a pig farmer, I'm pretty sure, and she yep. has been, one of the reasons that she was elected, and she was overwhelmingly elected by Tea Party groups, was because she was talking about United Nations Agenda 21. And then she was given the floor to speak after Obama's State of the Union, as, you know, the Republican Party response. And we heard more about, we heard more about Wonder bread bags on her feet than we did on any substance when it comes to, you know, what, the Republican Party should do, as a result of Obama's, you know, agenda, for his last two years in office. And here she's been going around talking about Agenda 21, and she was given the floor. She was given national attention. And we didn't hear anything about climate change or radical environmentalism or anything. So it just makes you think, like, gosh, what are, you know, how is it that we all are so in tune with what's going on? And then we've got some people who are just, like, complacent. And it's very frustrating.
Well, I got a question. Okay, so they're going to attempt, I would say, to collect money from the average Joe for their carbon footprint. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't know, Bill, exactly what they're going to do. I do know that their goal is to move to a non-monetary unit, like the green economy. What is the green economy? If you were to think about what the green, there's a couple ways you can go. I know you have a question, but there's a couple ways you could go. Green economy could be renewable energy. And that's what they're referring to, green economy. Or it could be there is no U.S. dollar, which we know George Soros is a big fan of eliminating the United States dollar.
So if they go to a green economy, they want to tax companies or individuals or whoever, you know, for their carbon footprint. How are they going to enforce.
Yeah. Once they pick the number, how are they going to make it pay it?
How are they going to make like China and India and, you know, some of the worst polluters on the planet, how are they going to enforce collecting anything from them? Because, you know, they're like third world nations that, you know, are just trying to get on their feet. I guess they get more slack than we do because, I mean, look at the pollution that they kick out. Uh-huh. I don't see any way that they can enforce, if they can't enforce it on them, how the heck are they going to justify enforcing these radical new laws on the American public? I don't get it.
Well, if you are a country, this is in my opinion. This statement is not my opinion. They will.
Sure it is.
Sue. So when it comes to, will be lawsuits. So, for example, if the United States, let's say the United States submits, which it did, its action plan for reducing our greenhouse gases, which I haven't seen yet. I don't know if it's available, but to the COP21, Convention of Party 21 in December, Paris, we submit our plan, and let's say China fails to submit its plan, and let's say there was a catastrophe. Oh my gosh, because of global warming, there's all these hurricanes, there's going to be catastrophic wildfire because we human beings are so bad, bad, bad. Well, now you've got a country who can say, so if China was irresponsible and dumped a bunch of oil in the ocean, what oceans, what waters are connected to China?
Mm-hmm.
Every waters.
Sure.
Every ocean. because we're all one big happy family, right? We're all connected. The ecosystem, it's one Earth, one planet, and we're all connected. So then you're going to have lawsuits against that country who did not sign on. That's like the Kyoto Protocol, too, who didn't sign on. And then you've got these lawsuits on, you've got island states, for example, or island nations, who, because of global warming, the seas are rising, and they're having floods and, you know, natural disasters. Well, now that country can sue. Yeah.
Because
now
it's our
big.
Fault.
Well, so,
yeah, who do they go to? But so the guys
they,
with all the money.
Are we going to get sued every time we have a wildfire, every time a forest catches on fire because of bad management? The United States is going to get sued by Ethiopia for polluting the planet and we'll have to
for
pay
all
them
I
our
know,
carbon,
we could be
carbon
getting
tax.
Sued for all this stuff right now. I have no idea.
Wow.
But yeah, they talk about in you know all these books that I have. When I go around giving presentations, I've got an international law book, environmental law book, and it talks about you know the United Nations Sea Treaty and all these different supposedly voluntary agreements.
Like the income
and
tax.
So the more you don't sign on, the more you don't get a pass.
Wow. I just see the United Nations going down the same road as the League of Nations, and the whole thing ought to just be disbanded. It's totally non-workable at this point, and if the United States pulled out of it, they wouldn't have a dollar to drive their cars across town.
They wouldn't have a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out of because we would take
the
their building.
That's right. That's right.
Who closed their little building.
And they couldn't put plastic over the hole anymore because plastic's a bad thing.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah.
You got to do it all with hemp.
But I think that all the media attention, no matter what the catastrophe is, whether they want to call it, you know, and they need to hype it up and they need to have it in the news, like with Haiti and, you know, they take advantage of every situation and turn it into global warming, right?
Mm. Oh, yeah.
So then when the news makes it to this third world country who's saying, see, look what they're up to. And it is, you know, they don't have the power that we could have if people were really honest here, you know, when it comes to global warming and climate change and water scarcity here in, you know, California's drought, which we all know that they've been, our government, state, local agencies have been releasing water for fish and frogs rather than people, and we're talking, you know, millions of acre feet of water over years and years,
yeah.
Not billions. I don't.
Oh, that's
it's like
you know,
don't get me started. You
that's
know,
a whole other deal
Klamath
there.
Lake is,
that whole water thing.
Yeah, Klamath Lake is 94% full, but we're going to put all the farmers out of business because we don't have enough water. On that unpleasant local note, here we need to take a quick break. We've got a little bit out of our routine. You are listening to We the People Radio. You can find us online at wethepeopleradio.us. Oh, you're going to love this song. Debbie, this could be your new theme song. We'll be back with you in 2 minutes.
It's green, they say, on the far side of the hill. Green, green, I'm going away to where the grass is greener still.
Oh, well, I told my mama on the day I was born, don't you cry when you see I'm gone. You know there ain't no woman going to settle me down. I just got to be traveling.
Green, green, it's green they say, on the far side of the hill. Green, green, I'm going away to where the grass is greener still.
Now there ain't nobody in this whole wide.
You're listening to We the People on Community Talk Radio for the North State, AM 1460, KCNR.
Took all the trees, put them in a tree museum. And they charged the people a dollar and a half just to see them. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paved their lives, put up a parking lot.
Hey, so how'd you like that green song, Debbie?
That was great.
I know. That's a special classic for the environmental programs. On your page as well, for those folks who have not joined us on the website, you should. WeThePeopleRadio.us. And if you go to the page for today's program, you will see at the bottom our favorite video. Every time we have a every time we have some kind of an environmental.
Oh, is that the tree one?
I love you.
Oh, yeah.
We don't want you to die.
We have the crying for the screaming and crying for the trees. It's an old Earth First video from probably the 70s. Classic.
It's very sad.
Classic.
You'll need a tissue.
We watched it yesterday and just couldn't stop laughing. We just never get tired of it. So, you know, Debbie, I had somebody ask in the chat room here a little bit ago and kind of blew him off, but I had somebody ask in the chat, how did you learn all this stuff?
How did I learn? Oh, I just started digging into internet sites. You know, when my parents are responsible super cattle ranchers in Northern California and generational farmers and ranchers. And when we started just thinking, you know, all of a sudden there was this environment where it seemed like we farmers and ranchers all of a sudden were becoming the enemies. Here we provide food, we provide byproducts, livestock byproducts, you know, the livestock. We use over 98% of the cow, for example, into something that is of beneficial use, whether it's to the land or to human beings. But 98% of the cow is recycled into something beneficial. And when we saw that there was attack on, you know, cattle and eating beef and that cows' farts and burps are causing catastrophic wildfires and, you know, all this crazy, crazy head-scratching making stuff. And so at one point, you know, my mom and I were like, Dad, you know they're coming after water. You know that if they can take control of water, they can take control of everyone's life. And sure enough, the following years that ensued, we saw more, you know, Department of Fish and Wildlife meetings about water quality and in-stream and outstream flow. And then, you know, of course, there was the issue with the Klamath River dams that exist on 4 hydroelectric clean green energy dams and why everyone in the United States should be concerned about the Klamath River dams is that it will be the largest dam removal project in worldwide history. And today, because California is getting international news for our drought situation, which, oh, by the way, California is a very naturally, historically arid state. Our land is arid. It's Mediterranean. Mediterranean does not mean rain. Mediterranean actually means the opposite. It means lots of dry seasons, if not years. You know what, Aaron and Bill? Why did the Indians come up with Indian or rain dances?
Well, you see, there is an inexplicable conundrum right there.
And I think people forget that before, you know, 10 billion people moved to California, pretty much everything south of Fresno was desert. I mean, we created all of that land down there and turned it into...
Okay, well, great example, Palm Springs. We used to go down there like 2-3 times a year. We had conferences down there. And if a, you know, if a business, you know, went out, and this was kind of during that time when businesses were going out of business, and a guy would go out of business, we'd come back 6 months later, and seriously, the desert had reclaimed that lot.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. It was.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you don't put like water on it. It turns into sagebrush and sand overnight.
Yeah. It looked like it had been empty for 100 years.
Yeah, and that's what all of L.A. and San Diego, all that was just sand dunes. I mean, I knew a guy who he's passed away since, but one of his jobs he had when he was a young man was driving a truck, hauling rock, building roads in L.A. And he told me that when he was a kid, it was all just sand dunes down there. There was no, you know, there was nothing. And we just pumped water down there and turned it into what it is today. Well, guess what? We don't have enough water to sustain that. Oh, I said that word. You can't sustain
that word
without building massive water projects.
And the complaint for California is, there's quite a few points that, you know, could be made just on the water issue alone and going back to, everyone in the United States should be concerned about this issue happening in far northern California, just below the Oregon border on the Klamath River, because this dam removal project people are pushing to get federal funding, federal support, all kinds of United Nations support, all these, what I would say is environmental hijacking of our lives. All this support around these dams, which are clean, green, hydroelectric, renewable energy, green energy, inexpensive energy, and the water behind these dams is water storage. So we need those that water because we're in a drought. We need that water because they're saying there's going to be catastrophic wildfires because we're going through a dry season or a dry year or several dry years. The water provides irrigation because people need to eat. And that irrigation, you know, feeds, that water is taken out of the river that runs 365 days, 24/7. Why? Because there's storage lakes. So the lake or the river in dry seasons like these, like this year, if those dams were in place, you would likely at the end of this year, closer to September, when fish want to spawn and go upstream, you're going to have, like Rex, Rancher Rex described, who grew up on the Klamath, you're going to have mud. You're going to be able to walk across the river. And you're going to have fish that are dead, and which he remembers as a child, and just, you know, this. But now we have, because, Bill, to your point, man created diversions, water diversions, canals, aqueducts, so we can divert water down to Southern California, down to San Joaquin Valley, which created the bread basket of the United States of America. California alone could feed, or at once, I don't know if this is true anymore, but California alone could feed the entire nation. So, and now we're getting to a point where, because of, you know, all this water being wasted out to sea, and if the seas are really rising because of global warming, wouldn't we want to hold back water?
You would think.
Well,
that's a good point.
Something else that people don't, I don't think they understand is the entire Central Valley Project, which includes Shasta Dam, Trinity Dam, all these dams, that water, that those projects were made for irrigation, for farming. That was the number one reason. Now, as a byproduct of that, we got electricity, we got recreation, we got all these other things.
Wetlands.
Hollywood. You've got the wine industry.
Sure.
You've got high-tech, biotech.
But that's not what it was for. And now that we're running out of water, the first thing they cut is the irrigation to the farmers.
Yeah.
You know what? It reminds me of businesses. When I sold advertising a long time ago, the first thing businesses cut when they got in trouble was their advertising, which literally stopped the inflow to their business. It was so super counterintuitive. And the first thing we do, cut it to agriculture. And the rest of the country is going to suffer. That's the thing. People think, well, this doesn't affect me. You know, I don't live in nutty California. And you know what? God love you. I'm glad you don't have to live in nutty California.
No, we'll just get all of our organic, organic vegetables from South America. Because, you know, we watch them very closely and make sure that it truly is organic.
Well, you know, and the Chinese, you know, sent us poison dog food. So I'm sure they're going to do really well with the other stuff. It's what is that? The signs at the Capitol, I remember a couple years ago. If you love foreign oil, you're going to love foreign food.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. And actually, they had all the farm workers carrying signs like that.
Picked at the peak of
freshness. Picked at the peak of freshness. Say that two times fast. Oh, got to take one last quick break here. We'll be back with Debbie talking about sustainable development and all its many tentacles. You know, we should go through those, Debbie, when we come back. All the different things it's called to mask the ugliness. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us. Love this song. This is for all the nice folks up in Siskiyou County.
Give me land, lots of land under starry skies above. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in. Let me be by myself in the evening breeze. Listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you please, don't fence me in, just turn me loose.
You're listening to We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
Maybe I'll be there to shake your hand. Maybe I'll be there to shake.
The same house. Oh, and everybody gets their 250-square-foot rabbit hutch for their whole family. It's going to be great. We're in high-rises.
Oh, we need to get closer together anyway.
All packed in the city. We can't wash our clothes because we can't use any water. We're all wearing little hemp sacks. It's going to be great.
I can't wait till I get to turn in my neighbor for turning on his sprinklers during the day.
Hey, we got a guy in our neighborhood. He's got a busted sprinkler, and he has a rock.
Right.
He has a rock over it. And you can see the corner of his grass is dead because it doesn't get any water, and it runs right down the drain.
Well, he gets a bonus for the dead spot, but he gets penalized for the water that runs into the gutter.
But see, we had somebody on the chat room here put a note in. That guy, when it comes to cutting down on his water, it's going to be really easy because all he has to do is fix his sprinkler, and he's just cut his water by 25%. But all the people who've been good stewards of the water up till now, now they're going to be showering with bottled water.
Oh yeah, they're going to use their savings.
Turn the radio down, hon.
Yeah, thanks, hon.
Hey, that must be, which hon is that? Say, Mr. Delfino, is he talking to Melba?
Yes.
All right, what do you have for us, Ken?
This is regarding the United Nations.
We hate them.
It's an Agenda 21 news website item.
Fire away.
Okay. Yes. Hello, Debbie and Bill and Aaron, Colfaxian calling here, yeah, with some news that's really upset me. I'm a member of a local Kiwanis club, and for the past 3 or 4 years, we've been supporting a program called Eliminate, which is to try to eradicate maternal neonatal tetanus in African nations and other nations. I just read an article published last month in the Agenda 21 news, written by the healthimpactnews.com, the fact that several Kenyan doctors have found an anti-fertility vaccine. I'm sorry, and it's the HCG antigen, which is used in anti-fertility vaccines, which is in this stuff that have been giving to these people.
What's an anti-fertility?
That's so that you can't have any more kids, because obviously.
And that's a vaccine?
Just slipping it in there.
It's a antigen that's used in a vaccine.
Oh, okay.
Now, I haven't seen a link but the thing is, if it smells like a duck, looks like a duck, and it quacks like a duck, right? The thing is, as of March 17, 2015, I just got this report. Our Eliminate project has raised more than $76.8 million in cash and pledges, which will save or protect at least 42 million moms and babies. However, if you translate that over to the article from the 10 to 21 news, have they in fact sterilized 42 million moms?
Yeah. So Eliminate actually was a dual-purpose word there.
Well, it was, again, like a lot of other organizations, like some of the conservation organizations that start out with good intentions in the beginning, it's been taken over. And having been a Kiwanian for 27 years, this is not my intent as a volunteer in community service, both locally and internationally. So this has turned out, if this is true, and I'm trying to find a link between the doctors and this actual project. So far, it just seems like, circumstantial?
Mm-hmm.
Sure, but gosh, that makes perfect sense, though. Big Brother decided that, you know what, they wouldn't have all this tetanus and all these other problems if they didn't have so many kids. So let's just make it so they don't have so many kids.
How diabolical is that?
It's
creepy. You take a program that is, a good intentions and turn it into something like that. That's horrid.
Well, the theme was, and I was at the convention in Las Vegas when this program was launched. The theme was, for $1.80, you can protect a child. And that was the cost of the vaccine shot per person. It states in our report that I just received that, let's see, which countries?
Well, it's interesting because California is now fighting, and many other states as well. I just don't have a list in front of me, but on whether or not people have to vaccinate their kids, if they're going to make parents vaccinate their kids or not.
Right.
Well,
right.
This would be the kind of thing that parents might kind of be worried about.
Well,
of course,
yeah, and that falls under Common Core curriculum.
And, of course, it couldn't happen here. I just better add that,
No, it definitely won't happen in the state of Jefferson.
No, couldn't happen here, What do you think? Where do you think the Nazis got all their great ideas? They got them from California.
Well, they got it from CARP.
That's true. They were the precursor to CARP. Hey, Debbie, weigh in. We've got a couple minutes before the top of the hour. Does this have meaning for you? Uh oh.
We lose Debbie.
Uh oh. Debbie's in the cone of silence. Okay, Mr. Delfino.
Can you hear me, Aaron?
Hey, there you go. You're back. Or not. These kinds of things are always so odd. See, it could happen to anyone.
It's so weird. My phone goes silent for several seconds, and I can't hear anything.
Is it a cell phone or is it a landline?
It's the UN.
No, I have a cell phone.
So,
have
you seen this?
Not happened before. So,
we have a lot of special things that happen when we have people calling and talking about, you know, the scary stuff. So, Mr. Delfino, could you do some homework on that and then let us know if it's real?
It'll be my pleasure.
Appreciate it.
The best to you, Debbie.
Good to hear your voice, Ken.
Okay. Au revoir.
Ciao.
He's so multicultural. and we're doing a program with him, actually, on Memorial Day. We're doing a big thing on Normandy.
Big deal.
And he does, I'm not going to ruin it, but he does a big project, and it's going to be great.
It'll be a spoiler.
So tune in at the end of May. We have plenty of time to put it together. Oh, sure, says Mrs. Procrastinator. All right, so Debbie, what do you want to carry people over with? What are we going to
do? Well, I saw your updated version of the website, and I think it's great. That was an email I sent to an organization called CFACT, who really is leading the way, of a guy named Craig Rucker and crew and Lord Monckton and, you know, quite a few other people. I went to the United Nations Real Earth Summit with in 2012. And so if you go to that, and I hope you do go to Aaron and Bill's website at wethepeopleradio.net, right?
Yeah,
and
or .us. Look, you could go to any of them. They all go to the same place.
Great. And just look through the links. You will see another link. It's a TED Talk by a guy named Chris, and he is from the United States. At that time that speech was given, we're talking back, now we're going back into divesting and pension funds and how they tie into United Nations Agenda 21. And you'll hear him talk about sustainable development and ESG, or he doesn't specifically talk about sustainable development. But we all know who've been following.
We're going to carry that over to the top of the hour. We were not paying attention to our little clock here. We're going to be back with Debbie after the first of the hour. Go to the webpage and check out the new links, wethepeopleradio.us.
Stay tuned for Hour 2 here at KCNR Shasta Redding.
Welcome to We the People. It was like, hey, where are we? Why do I sound so small? You've joined Aaron, Bill, and Bob back here for our second hour. And I thought I'd start it out. We're talking to Debbie Bacigalupi about sustainable development, UN Agenda 21, all the different forms and facets. And I hope you go to the website, wethepeopleradio.us, and look at all the stuff she has provided for us today. And I also linked previous shows. So for folks that are like, well, you're not telling us anything about her, well, go back and listen to the other shows. But one of the things on here that I thought we shouldn't skip over is this executive secretary of the UN, Christiana Figueres or whatever, secretary of the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change, stated publicly in Europe on February 3rd, 2015. All right, ready for this?
Shoot.
This is the first time in the history of mankind...
Easy for you to say. It was so bad it just choked you right up. You know, anytime they say it's the first time in history, usually means it's always been a bad idea. So, looks like I'm going to read it here. For the first time in history of mankind, that we are setting ourselves to take... wait a minute here. To task.
Okay, you're fired.
I can't. See, this is why I don't buy Uh-oh. Where'd I go, Bob? Oh,
something
there we
bad
are.
Happened.
That's why I don't buy miniature computers.
Nothing bad happened.
Nothing bad happened.
It only happened in the studio. It was internal.
Oh, okay. So just play along. Something bad happened. This is the first time in history of mankind that we are setting ourselves the task of intentionally, within a defined period of time, to change the economic development model that has been reigning for at least 150 years since the Industrial Revolution. Oh,
maybe,
good.
Maybe
oh,
the
goody.
Reason it's been raining is because it's worked.
Yeah. So there you go.
Well,
Debbie,
I love
there's
that,
your segue.
Bob, that you, or Bill, that you automatically knew that that 150 years relates to the United States of America.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it has worked.
So
and
it's
if
all,
you quit it, messing with it, it'll continue to work.
But see, that's the whole point. It's all about crushing us so we can all be poor together. Because if we're all poor, everybody will be happier. What do they say, Debbie, when you go to these conferences?
Well, I kind of keep a, even though I'm fuming in my seat, I'm looking for that smoking gun when I go to these conferences. For example, I went to the Navigating an American Carbon World, and I think this was in 2013. It was 2012 or 2013. And the United Nations Framework on Climate Change, Cristiana Figueres, who you've linked to many of her crazy videos, by the way, she is the Secretariat to the United Nations Framework on Climate Change Convention. She, her parents, so the other thing I like to show to people or tell people is what hypocrites these people are. So here she is going around the world saying this is now a political movement. You heard what Aaron just you just said, Aaron. This is the first time in the history of mankind that we are setting ourselves the task of intentionally, within a defined period of time. The defined period of time is 2015 Paris, COP21, to change the economic development model that has been working, like Bill noted. And in other words, the United States of America, free capitalism, free enterprise, all of that. Because the way they look at capitalism and free enterprises is that it's exploiting their precious planet of resources, whether it's minerals or that every smartphone is used with, or every smartphone or every computer, you know, requires, or livestock byproducts. You need livestock byproducts and fossil fuel in order to create your cell phones and your computers and everything else in your life. And these, her parents, so you go back to the hypocrites that they are. First of all, they fly around the world. They go to all sorts of conferences. They stay in the best hotels. They fly first class, or they take private jets. And her parents, Cristiana Figueres' parents, went to, she's from Puerto Rico, or Costa Rica. She's from Costa Rica. Her father, three times, was the president, or whatever you call, of Costa Rica. So in other words, these people are wealthy. They are the privileged. They went, her parents, and including her, went to United States schools. I believe they went to Ivy League schools or MIT or schools that are considered, you know, upper echelon, that not just anyone can get into. But somehow these international hypocrites seem to get into our best schools. And so anyway, they're real hypocrites when they come to that you will change your lifestyle, but they are not changing their lifestyle. And
well,
so,
well, I think a lot of it too, Debbie, is the fact that a lot of these countries, I think, are jealous that we have a system that works, that provides its people with the opportunity to create and to
succeed
and become wealthy. They don't.
And they're
so let's bring us down to their level, and we'll all be equal.
Well, because then nobody will notice that it's the fact that they're communist dictators that are ruining their lives.
Yeah. And with her, you know, if you look at that below, Aaron, what you read on the site on WeThePeopleRadio.us for today's show, if you read below that, it talks about the six principles of responsible investing, the United Nations PRI. And you can see they talk about investors' fiduciary responsibility. And if you read under these documents, they say that it is your fiduciary responsibility as an investor when it comes to these major, major pension plans. And why are pension plans
so important? Well, they tell us because collectively with Wall Street, it's like over $45 trillion of asset management. So when you take that kind of extraordinary, extraordinary bank account, $45 trillion, you can do anything you want.
Oh, absolutely.
There is no shortage of money when it comes to removing the Klamath River Dam. All you need is someone to fund it.
Mm-hmm.
So under sustainable development, then you could see it's really fascinating, and I'm just so fortunate to have a friend who said, Debbie, you know, I know you know all about Agenda 21, but did you know this piece of Agenda 21? Like Common Core, we all know that Common Core is part of United Nations Agenda 21, and when you start linking it together, it starts to all make sense.
Sure, because so if you don't brainwash everybody, the program's not going to make any sense.
Right. And they even tell us here, sorry, Bill, they even tell us, I'm so excited about this, that you posted it, they even tell us below where it says show me the money, which is in ESG. So ESG, just like the three E's of sustainable development. Well, ESG is environmental, social, governance. The three E's are environment. Yeah.
And what are the three E's? Environment, economy, and ecology? What are the E's?
Oh, my gosh. I just lost it. Environmental justice, economic justice, and social equity.
Oh, social equity. That's the one I always get wrong.
Yeah,
well, when you said shortage, it rang a bell with me because that's their battle cry is there's a shortage of all of our resources.
The politics of scarcity.
There is no shortage. There's no shortage of timber. There's no shortage of minerals. There's no shortage of pretty much anything. It's about management, and they just their idea of management is just to shut it off. And
no, shut you off, not shut
do,
it off.
Yeah, do without, and then everything will be okay. It's
but Bill,
here's where the
craziness is, of that all is. It's not them who's going to be shut out. If you go into a cap and trade system, and you're trading credits, carbon credits, who's going to be able to afford to pollute?
Sure.
So if you can pollute because you trade credits, you say, you know what, I'm buying X amount of credits so I can pollute.
Yeah, so it's not about pollution, is it?
I don't think so.
No, it's not.
But well, this is why it gets back to the carbon, and you've had Leighton, is it Leighton Hewitt?
Yep, Leighton Stewart.
And what did he say, Aaron?
Oh, well, I liked his, you know, for us non-science people, and, you know, I kind of resent being dragged into becoming a science person. You know, I'm just not a science person. But I, you know, could follow a concept. And so he always boils things down into a bite-sized chunk. And one of his things was that if carbon was a pollutant, every time we did mouth-to-mouth resuscitation on somebody, because we breathe out 100 times more carbon than exists in the ambient air, we would have killed people every single time. Well, although they no longer recommend mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, it wasn't because we killed people. So how could it be a pollutant? It either is or it isn't.
Yeah.
And none of them, you know, it's funny. I go to meetings with, you know, these knotheads, and I ask them stuff like that. And
that's harsh.
They cannot. I have other words. They can never explain that, just like the co-host.
Don't
salmon.
Get me started.
I know. It's like we'll have to have a whole beep, 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 beep session, you know?
Yeah.
Sound like we're doing some kind of weird Morse code.
No, they'll change the subject the minute you bring up anything that makes sense.
Well, you know, like the coho salmon are endangered, but I can buy them at Costco. Really?
For $8.99 a pound.
Yeah, go figure. Mm-hmm. How does that work out? It was right next to the tiger oil and the baby seal meat and, you know, all these other. Oh, yeah, no, it wasn't.
It's whale oil.
Whale oil.
Yeah.
That was baby seal oil.
No, baby seals are what I wear for my clothes.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. You wear those. You don't squeeze them for their oil. Yeah, I forgot.
That's right.
I get all confused about
what
we squeeze and what we wear.
Speaking of baby seal, you reminded me of when I was at the 2012 United Nations Sustainable Development Conference. We happened to be in a press conference with CFAC, who I just mentioned earlier, and they were doing, in this press conference, they had a scientist from, I believe, Switzerland, and he showed a video of Greenpeace, who's all about saving the environment, blah, 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 right? Saving animals, saving the whales, Greenpeace, very radical, very, I think, obstructionist, but also physical. You know, they're in your face.
They're terrorists.
Yeah, I agree. Well, they showed a video, this scientist who questions global warming and questions highly the United Nations and what the United Nations is up to, showed a video of Greenpeace, their video, of a baby seal and the mom, the cow. And they were dragging, it was supposedly an Eskimo, and the Eskimo was on, you know, a very cold north and south, dragging with a hook a baby seal. And so in the white, you know, glacier, snow, whatever, you'll see a path of just blood. And you see behind that path of blood, or maybe it was a walrus. It was a walrus following behind, the baby, the cow's baby.
Nice.
And so they reviewed, so this is a Greenpeace to say, look what's happening, you know, to, sea life and human beings are bad. Well, then the scientists, went through and showed how that there is no way that they would have gotten the angles with the shadows, that were all throughout this, you know, poor cry for the baby and cry for the mom, and how it had to have been a three-camera shoot. So that means it was completely staged.
Oh, what are the odds of that?
Yep.
I'd love to.
That's the kind of stuff that they pull. I mean, you look at Al Gore and what he's up to, and, you know, saying that the polar ice caps are melting and we're losing the polar bears and...
Oh, yeah, the polar bear one is the one I love. It shows him on a little tiny piece of ice floating out into the ocean because that's the only land, that's the only ice left.
And don't we have a zillion more polar bears than
we
ever had
before? Yeah, their population is exploding. They're having a real problem with them. But according to them, they're going to be extinct.
Yeah, exactly, just like wolves. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they hardly populate. Yeah.
Yeah, no, you don't have to worry. And wolves, remember, don't kill people.
That's right. That's right. Wolves don't kill people. A 77-year-old
woman was just killed, eaten, her legs missing. She's dead. And they know that it was from wolves. And then they try and say stuff like, yeah, she had a heart attack, and then a wolf happened to be in the area and come along and eat her at the same time.
Because the narrative on wolves is that they only eat the dead and dying, so actually they're really good for keeping the herds fresh because they only eat the sick animals. It's just like us. We look for the oldest produce, we look for all the food that's out of date, and that's what we buy so we can keep the store merchandise fresh. We buy the old crap and take it home. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to say something bad.
Just like the wolves, and of course we're being sarcastic here. The wolves eat entire cow. They eat every piece of the cow. No, you know who uses the majority of the cow? 98% of the cow.
Humans.
Everything we can. Human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they rip the hind quarter out and then leave it.
And then leave it for maggots, and like when I saw that sheep kill, 176 sheep in Idaho. I hiked back 5 miles to, that's the only way you can, the only way you could get back to this wolf kill of 176 sheep was either on horseback or hiking. Unless, of course, you're the federal government, and then you can get in any way you want. But when we went back, the sheep were killed 3 days prior to us getting in there. And what we saw was just this pile up is what they call it. And because it was in the hot summer sun, the degeneration, decompose. Yeah. And you see bear scat in the area, and you see coyote scat. And because, you know, it's got the little smaller, I mean, look, I'm a rancher's daughter. I know the difference between a dog poop and a coyote poop, and then it's got maggots and flies and bees and yellow jackets and all these different, you know, the decomposition of life. And what a waste. And this was 13 government wolves, two of them collared. And so here we spend all this money, not us, but our government, I guess us too, because we're paying for it, and all these radical environmental groups who are all for United Nations Agenda 21 and partners with the United Nations, like Center for Biological Diversity, the Nature Conservancy, Environmental Defense Fund, And so there's all this effort to, quote unquote, save the dying wolves or to repopulate the wolves. And then what our federal government does is, in an example like the Sitaway sheep family who, with the 176 sheep kill.
And you know what? We've got to – let's take a really quick break. And you know, while I'm doing that, I'm going to double check which show we talked about that on, because we did a whole show about that.
Yeah, and, I think
really
you have a
good
video of it, too.
We
you
did have
a video
of my
footage.
I got to look and see what program that is. We will be right back and finish up this half hour with Debbie. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us, and we'll be right back with you.
Well, you filled up my head with so many lies. You twisted my heart till something snapped inside. I'd like to give it one more try, but my give a damn's busted.
You're tuned to AM 1460 KCNR, where you're hearing We the People.
Oh! Who's that I see walking in these woods? Why, it's Little Red Riding Hood. Hey there, Little Red Riding Hood. You sure are looking good. You're everything a big bad wolf could want.
Listen to me.
Little Red Riding Hood.
Oh, you can't go wrong. That is like the perfect song. Okay, so I'm adding the sheep kill to the page. I put a little note on there, see, in advance. It says, we never know where we'll go with Debbie, so links will be added throughout the show. Continue to refresh your screen. That's the best warning I can give.
Mm.
And
you were saying, oh, sorry, Erin.
No,
go ahead.
Go on.
You were saying earlier, you know, let's talk about all the tentacles of sustainable development. Well, the Wolf Manifesto by the United Nations is part of one of those tentacles, and applies to United Nations Agenda 21 Sustainable Development.
It's it just never ends. You know, it never ends. There's just an endless supply, and when they start getting into the pension funds of, major pension funds, are they doing that around the country? I can't imagine that the California Teachers Pension Fund is the only one.
Oh, no. It's all sorts of investment firms. If you look up on those links, if you go to the any of the links when it comes to UNPRI and go to their website, you can actually go to the – oh, well, you've got it on there, CUNIPRI.org signatories. So if that link from when I did this is still – it looks like it's still applicable. Yeah, AFL-CIO. Has signed on to the United Nations Principle for Responsible Investment. You can see Sweden, Germany, Alliance SE, all these AXA group out of France. You can just keep going down and down and down. Petroleum companies, Church of England, Pension Board, City in Finland that signed on to, this United Nations Principles for Responsible Investment, which then is to divest from fossil fuels, all sorts of organizations.
I would be very
Harvard University.
I'd be very curious to watch those funds and see how they perform once they've made these switches. Because I mean, these companies, these solar companies and wind farm companies, and you know, you can invest in them, and that's great, but they just don't make money. And so,
well, and Bill, imagine if you are a part of, let's see, here's one, these are a lot of retirement funds, by the way. Let's see, I just saw one and just lost it. New York City Employees Retirement System. So a lot of our retirees are, you know, my parents' generation, people who loved and fought for this country. If they even knew what their pension funds were up to and how it directly affects the future, how it directly affects, you know, if they were going to live a long time and see this whole thing unfold. how shocking and insulting. It's like the Klamath River dams, where people who use that clean green energy from PacifiCorp are now being charged every single month for dam removal when they want those dams in, but now they're being charged a fee to remove those dams that they need that provide them with clean, green, inexpensive energy. It's an insult.
I think the only way we're going to actually, and I don't even know if this would work because these guys literally are such true believers. I'm not sure they have any common sense left, but you know, if we started talking about releasing wolves into Golden Gate Park, we start talking about, you know, taking out Hetch Hetchy, which is how San Francisco gets all their water. You know, you start talking about things like that that'll really affect them. I guess it would change the dialogue, but we're not ridiculous enough to propose it. I think that's the thing. We're either going to have to get more ridiculous, or they're going to have to get some common sense.
Well,
so I'm kind of thinking we're going to have to get ridiculous.
I just don't see these big fund managers. I mean, when they get paid on the based on the performance of the fund and that fund starts losing money, they're not going to stick with that program. Regardless of what they say, they may keep a few stocks and, you know, just so they can say, oh, we're participating. But when it affects their paycheck, that's always where the rubber meets the road.
Well, divesting from fossil fuel, good grief. I mean, think about all the stuff that's not – well, I guess if you just think about the things that are available, it's a very short list.
Well, look what's happened to the electric industry when they take all the coal plants offline. The price goes sky high. I mean, it's no different.
But, you know, Aaron, I love that you brought up, you know, just thinking about what – the products that come from petroleum, at least that's where I thought you were kind of thinking.
Yeah,
nylon,
it's huge.
All the medical equipment in hospitals. So, you know, if someone says, you know what, we need to divest, like universities are now being told to divest, as we read in that list. Harvard is, you know, there's students, and you see these student unions, you know, saying we need to divest. It's happening all over, and especially here in California, you see it happening a lot. But, you know, when you're talking to that person and saying, oh, well, we need to reduce our fossil fuel use, why don't you go talk to that your grandmother or your grandfather who has a pacemaker? And because of fossil fuel, you could actually create a pacemaker that's giving them life. You know, it's kind of like that we used to laugh. I remember, Aaron, we used to laugh about when people say, you know, the world is overpopulated. Okay, well, if you think the world is overpopulated, and you think that human being, we need to reduce the amount of people on the earth, then show us how it's done. You be a leader. You go first.
Yeah, and let us know how it works out for you, huh?
Or when people say rocks have rights or animals have rights.
That's in the video.
Really?
The rocks.
No.
The rocks are in the video, the Earth First video. You got to go to if you haven't watched it lately, honestly, it's at the very bottom of the page. Just scroll to the bottom. It's like, I don't know, a minute and a half long. And she's like, this rock has more, what is it? The rock has more soul than any person she's ever met or something. And it's like, oh my gosh, yeah, I don't know if there's any help for you.
And well, Michael Shaw, and he says hello, by the way, a freedom advocate, you know, longtime advocate for natural rights and individual rights and protecting and preserving the U.S. Constitution, which the United Nations goes to destroy under the United Nations Earth Charter. In other words, Gaia worshiping. And my alma mater, Notre Dame de Namur, a private Catholic college in the Bay Area, has asked me to speak quite a few times and give the opposite view that the school is teaching the students, that the world is dying, the earth is dying, there's too many human beings, we need to all live in stack and pack, high density, vertical sprawl situations to save Mother Earth. Well, we're going to debate. So they're asking us to come back either next week or the following week, and Michael Shaw's going to join me, and we get to debate an environmental law an environmental attorney, lawyer, so anyway, I can't wait for him to talk about how animals have rights and frogs have rights and rocks have rights, because I would like to find out from him what is the last conversation he had with a rock or a frog and ask them how they felt about their rights.
Yeah, no kidding.
But it's just bizarre, and getting back to that common sense, I mean, even the simplicity of saying, look, why are we, the agenda, United Nations Agenda 21, is to destroy dams. And they've admitted it to us. Bruce Babbitt, former Department of Interior, the secretary, said that we need to consider 75,000 dams across the United States for removal. Well, okay, so if we remove all those dams and let the water run free, absolutely, aren't the seas going to rise?
Yeah.
So why would we do that? I mean, just kind of basic common sense like that, like your CPR. And Aaron, you know, you said, do we need to get a little bit more aggressive or crazy or whatever. I can't remember how you, like, just pick it up. I think we win when more and more people are on our side, partnering with us to talk about this every single day, to, one, expose United Nations Agenda 21 or expose sustainable development, whatever you want to call it, and to expose the hypocrisy of, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio, who's the ambassador, United Nations ambassador for saving the seas, and look at his carbon footprint and how destructive his way of life is, and yet he is the shining example, or their shining, I don't know, pet project when it comes to, I mean, all you have to do is say, okay, you know, all the examples we've given today, and if people did that regularly, I think we're going to see, and made a point of it like we do, which is to expose the truth, I think we'd be looking at a future that is more, in my opinion, hopeful than it is right now to me.
Amen. And I'm kind of hoping making fun of them furthers the narrative, too, because that's my favorite way of fighting back. We were just kind of chuckling on the chat room about a program that used to come after ours every Sunday, and the guy drove, like, it looked like a Skittle, like a blue Skittle with three wheels. And we used to just laugh and laugh and laugh, and we knew he was listening on his way into the studio. How harsh is that? It's just good, cheap fun. All right, Miss Debbie, another great insight into what's going on out there. We look forward to having you back. And, hey, next time you're going to be up here on a Sunday, let me know ahead of time. We'll have you in the studio, because it's always more fun that way.
Sounds good. I agree.
Thanks a million zillion. And, all this stuff, just say no to the carbon everything.
Yep. If we go along, remember, if we go along and don't, if you don't say anything, you're going along.
True story.
You're going
absolutely
along.
That's a really good point. And you're going to find yourself in a place you don't want to be.
You've got to confront them. You've got to confront them with facts, and they'll take care of themselves.
And resist. All right. Thanks,
Debbie. Resist we much.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Debbie. Have a great Sunday.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks, Debbie.
All right, guys, we're coming back, and we're going to talk about the veteran issue we have going on here in Shasta County. And for those of you that might not know about it, you should listen, because it's going to affect all sorts of things that you care about.
You're listening to We the People on AM 1460, KCNR, Community Talk Radio for the North State.
Unless it's a bad change. If it's a bad change, then just say no. So you're back, We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us, and we're shifting gears here. We're going to go local. So we have John Kleckner on the line, and he's going to give us the update on what's going on with our Veterans Service Office. Am I right? Ruh-roh.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. We have John? To flip some. Hold on. We got to flip some buttons.
I found him.
Oh,
okay.
There you go.
There he is.
Hello.
Hey, there you go. So what's the scuttlebutt?
Well, you know, this is this issue, this critical issue that I'm calling about, is directly related to the federal government, because it involves federal funds. It's exclusively federal funds, with the exception of subvention funds, which the county of, or which the state of California sends to the county of Shasta to fund the Veterans Service Office. And it, I found out Friday, I was trying to get a hold of some people down there to get some information about some veteran claims and some veterans that needed to file claims. And a young lady answered the phone, and I asked her to speak to several people, and she said they weren't in the office anymore. And when I inquired as to where they were, I was told that they had been fired or they retired or they quit. And when I asked her how many people were in the office, she said one, plus me. And I couldn't fathom this because of the caseload. Well, first of all, they have over 6,000 clients. The VSO office does, and no one needs to be serviced and honored any more than the veterans of our country. And in addition to that, there are over 4,000 claims that are outstanding that are going to need to be serviced by the Veterans Service Office here in Shasta County. So my thrust is, who caused this to happen? Where was the leadership? Where was the management from Shasta County? What did the supervisors do or know? And I was told that Larry Lees, the CAO, ran the VSO office, and that the Board of Supervisors had been cut out of the equation. And if this is true, his leadership and management styles greatly harmed North State veterans.
No kidding.
And, again, the VSO is a critical office and is decimated. The veterans and their families and widows and orphans are the ones who are going to suffer for this. And in some cases, we're talking about life and death issues. If it's a health care issue, that has to be filed, as you very well know, all the hard work you did with Congressman LaMaffa down there in Oakland.
Yeah, fixing that's going to amount to nothing.
There's a direct correlation. There's a direct relationship with everything that is going on in the Shasta County VSO office related to the federal government and the county government and the state government. And the poor veterans are right in the middle. Right now, as far as I've been told, the Veterans Service Office can't function.
I don't see exactly how they can, because one person can't see that many people, and it takes a long time to get up to speed on how to do that.
There are 7 vacancies right now, including the VSO, including the senior veterans rep. It's my understanding that the veteran service officer was fired, and when the staff found out, and when the senior veteran representative found out, he retired. He went to the boss and said, "Look, this, all these charges, all these allegations, everything is wrong. Everything is a lie." And he tried to plead his case, and it didn't go anyplace. So he says, "Well, I'm not going to be a part of this." He said, "This is outrageous," and he submitted his retirement papers, and the rest of the staff resigned, quit, and the veterans are hanging out to dry.
Yeah, and a whole bunch of them don't even know that it happened. I mean, they won't know until they go back to check on their claim.
I'm hoping through now. There's going to be, obviously, this is going to come up at the supervisorial meeting next Tuesday at 9 o'clock, and I hope the veterans all over Shasta County show up so that there's standing room only there, so they can hear what the supervisors are going to do to fix this. First of all, a veteran service officer must be highly, highly trained.
Yep.
And not only highly trained, he needs 5 to 10 years of experience in order to run one of these offices. The senior service officer, again, needs to be highly trained, and he needs at least 5 years' experience. I don't know where they're going to find these people in Shasta County right now unless Dave Lanford and Don Mangrum want to go back to work.
Yeah, because you're going to have to look to people who were there before at this point, unless they move here from someplace else.
Well, there isn't anyone else, and you just can't grab some political lackey or some person who may, well, you know, they can go out and say, well, I got Sergeant so-and-so. He spent 20 years in the Army. He knows all about the service. We're going to put him in there. That doesn't cut it.
No.
You have to have a highly trained, highly experienced person, because what they're doing is they're filing claims on every single solitary veteran program that's in existence. Everyone, thousands.
Yeah.
And they have to have the data and the information available to them in order to be able to process these claims.
Well,
then there's the follow-up. When I said there's 4,000 outstanding claims in Shasta County, that means one of these claims, and it could be a life or death situation, and Oakland would send back a message to the VSO here in Shasta County and say, look, I need a name clarification, or I need a date clarification, something that's small, and there's nobody there to do this.
Right.
And what happens to the veteran? What happens to the veteran who needs the health care? What happens to the widow who comes in whose husband just died, and she needs to find out what all of her, everything that she has coming to her from the Veterans Administration is? Who's going to counsel her? Who's going to counsel the people who want to get an education and set up things out of Shasta College or Simpson College?
Well, the kicker is we've been working hard on the Oakland office to process the benefits stuff correctly in a timely fashion. We're finally getting somewhere.
Absolutely, and that is a very important component.
Right, but if they don't get there correctly arranged.
Right, or come back and be re-looked at. What we're talking about, what you and Congressman LaMalfa have done is, you have been working on the end game.
Right.
The VSO office. The VSO office fills out the claims properly and gets that packet together properly, date stamps it, and sends it to Oakland. Oakland adjudicates it. Now, can you imagine if you take the VSO out of the equation?
Yeah, train wreck.
By the way, is our conversation on the air?
It is.
Well, I certainly hope the people of Shasta County are listening to this, because, for example, that little office brings in over $9 million of positive money into Shasta County every year. It's not one of the departments where you're constantly paying out and giving other parts of Shasta County's functioning departments money because of bad behavior. You know, like, we have to fund the sheriff's department because of bad guys. We and to defend the locals, and we have to give money to the courts so that they can prosecute these bad people. Then you have social services. So all this money is going out to people who need help, who have been brutalized, or who have done bad things. Here you have a little department of American heroes that, because of their service, they file claims and federal dollars come in. These are federal dollars. Federal dollars come in to the tune of $9 million a year, at least. And then you have the state of California, who says to the county of Shasta, gee, you really need a VSO office, so we're going to give you $92,000 a year in subvention funds to help run it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's going to cost you a few bucks, but you're getting a hell of a return on your dollar. The return on a dollar spent by Shasta County on the VSO is $100. That's a pretty good return.
Yeah. In any venue.
Here is this little department down here, and by the way, the department head of this department who brings in all of this money, doesn't create any problems, solves all these problems for Shasta County, is the lowest paid department head in Shasta County. And I'm sick and tired of our veteran heroes getting screwed over. And something's got to be done. Yep. And that's why I'm talking to you on the air right now. I hope that Tuesday at 9 o'clock, every veteran in Shasta County shows up at that supervisor's meeting and asks them what happened, who's responsible. Let's not start a blame game and a finger pointing. Let's get to the source. Let's do something about it, and let's get that County Veterans Service Office back on track with qualified people to run it.
Well, it's interesting. I was really excited when Duke moved up here because I'd been hearing about him for a long time.
Yeah.
All of the whistleblowers in Oakland that I've been working with, can't verify with one, but all the rest actually are longtime friends of his. And so, I mean, he's very well known in...
And he's very highly qualified.
Yes.
Very highly qualified.
He is.
The main thing that you have to be able to do at in the Veterans Service Office is be knowledgeable about the VA rules, protocols, laws, whatever, directives, whatever, and be able to file the claims properly. This is why Jim Young was such an incredible asset.
Yep.
And Jim, I mean, my God, every veteran in Shasta County, if you mention Jim Young, I mean, they cross themselves. This guy's a saint, and he just couldn't take it any longer, and he submitted his retirement papers, and then the staff also knew what was going on, and they just quit.
Well, he called me. I was on my way back from our Oroville office, and he called that Tuesday when he was packing up his office, and he was just fit to be tied. He hated being put in that position, but you know, he also has known Duke for a long time. We were excited because I was thinking, hey, finally somebody who has worked in a lot of different facets throughout the state, a guy who's going to bring in some resources inside that system. You know, it looked like it was going to be a great deal for us up here.
Even though Duke came in and was doing a great job, he still had problems because the county was not filling the positions. He had three vacant positions that he desperately needed filled because staff is so important, and staff needs to know what they're doing in that office also. And now there's no one. And Friday, the lady that I spoke with, she was very candid with me. She says, I'm not from this area. I just got hired, and I don't know anything about the office. And I said, well, what are you doing? She says, well, I'm trying to learn, and I answer the phone and take notes.
Yikes.
So I hope that everybody out there in listening land on Free Fire Radio and your program will get a hold of this, because we've got a crisis on our hands. And I'm not just blowing smoke. I'm 77 years old. I've been in this game for over 50 years. And I'm telling you right now, our veterans are in deep trouble in Shasta County.
You're right. And the VSO up in Siskiyou County, they have like 1.5 guys up there. And the guy who's been carrying the ball for the most part, he's retiring in October. So,
well, here again, we've tried in Shasta County to work very hard with everybody in the North State trying to get veteran service officers in all of the counties.
Yep.
But we've got to go to Pete Connedy, who used to, I don't know whether he still does, but used to head up the VSO Association for the state of California and is also the number one lobbyist for veterans in the state of California. Jim Nielsen, I'm getting all of the legislators on board with this. Something has got to be done. Pressure has to be brought to bear. And I'm sure there's going to be a whole bunch of lawsuits on this baby, which means more taxpayer dollars going down the tube because someone didn't manage something properly. If there was a problem in a department, and whoever was managing that department needed to take care of it and needed to get all the facts and not overreact or whatever they did.
Yeah.
Because obviously what they did created a reaction that the rest of the people in the office left.
Yeah.
Something is wrong someplace.
A really bad chain reaction.
Well, I hope you get a hold of Congressman LaMaffa and let him know, because he's got a very, very dear feeling about Shasta County, and let him know what's going on up here. And again, we're talking federal dollars.
Absolutely.
And so there is a federal component to this, and that's the reason why I wanted to talk to you.
Sure. And for the people that are listening, that are thinking, well, when is all this going to, I don't know when it's all going to come to a head, but there will be.
Well, it's going to come to a head Tuesday.
Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock at the Board of Supervisors chambers would be a good beginning.
Well, we're going to have. I'm sure that when people like Dave Kehoe and Leonard Modi get the facts on this and not the BS, the facts, they're gonna, their heads are gonna explode.
Yeah, I don't think it's gonna go well.
I'm praying to God that these people look at the facts and understand this is all about veterans. These men and women have fought for our country, served our country, and they're primarily going to this Veterans Service Office for health care.
Yep.
And this thing has been in the news for, what, the last 2 or 3 years? And right now, everything is going to stop because there's no one there that knows what they're doing. There are no qualified people there with the expertise to do what needs to be done.
Yeah, you can't put the claims together without the people with the expertise to do it. And then once, you know, you can't.
But
there's
what
no
about
point.
The 4,000 claims that are sitting out there right
sure.
now, and they send back. See, things have to be done immediate.
Yep.
You can't mess around. As you very well know, the work that you and Congressman Moffa have done.
Yeah, you have time. You have
Oakland,
time limits.
You know, the whole idea is to expedite. Let's get this stuff done. We're talking about human lives here. This isn't some game. This isn't some political bull crap thing. We're talking about human lives. Some of these guys have cancer, have serious service-connected disabilities that they need to file claims for to be cared for. They don't have the money to go to a doctor. Their caregiver is the United States government and the VA system. And there's nobody there to take care of them.
Yep, you're exactly.
And I don't know. And I'm going to be very honest with you. I don't know where in the dickens they're going to get anybody. And this is an immediate crisis. They need new people or qualified people in there Monday morning.
Yeah, they were packed all the time. I was just there like 2 weeks ago, and Jim's door was literally covered.
Get in the place.
No, it was covered with Post-it notes.
They turn people away.
Yep,
they
you're
file
right.
hundreds of claims every week. You know, this isn't the probation department. This isn't any of these other departments. These guys are coming to file for things that have to do with heroism, that have to do with service to their country. This
yep.
is all positive, good stuff. And then when they are recognized that they do qualify for these VA programs, positive, good money comes in to the county.
Not now.
I mean, my God, why would someone lack leadership and management skills so bad that they would kill the goose that laid the golden egg?
Exactly.
Other than the tax collector in this town, nobody brings positive dollars in except for the Veterans Service Office.
You're right. Mr. Collector, we've got to get off of here. It's a top
Thank
of the hour.
Thank you very much for letting me speak.
Absolutely. See you Tuesday morning at the Board of Supervisors.
All right, I'll be there.
All right, guys, you've been listening to We the People Radio. We'll be back next week. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Here on KCNR, Shasta Redding.